Now, I'd like to turn your attention to Isaiah, the 10th chapter. Isaiah chapter 10, starting in verse number 3. And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? A day of visitation. And then if you would go to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. First Peter 2, starting in verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word, that you touch it, bless it, anoint it. Open our ears, but open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night, Brother Woodward did just an outstanding message on be holy and how pertinent it is for us, especially in these last days. One of the things that he said is that in the day of visitation, people will be looking for somebody to go to for answers. And I think every one of us have been in that place at one time or another. This church has learned some important principles in just the last couple of weeks. There must be a preparation before there is a visitation of God. You can't just show up and say, well, I hope the preacher does good. I hope the choir sings good so we can have a move of God. No, each of us have to have our own preparation if we want to have a visitation from God. And it's all based on how we have prepared to receive what God truly wants to give us, truly is able to give us, you see. And the ultimate day of visitation is the rapture of the church, when God takes his bride out of here. However, there are times when suddenly God visits us. This whole church thing is all about not missing out on the last flight. It's why we come to church, because, you know, as Brother Woodward said, you know, we're in the process of being saved. We're not saved. And it's so easy for us to slip away because somebody's offended us, or I didn't get this, and God, you didn't answer the prayer when I wanted you to answer. And as a result, you know, we become one of those virgins that don't have oil. Now, I believe with all my heart that we're not too far from the rapture of the church. I mean, the question is, who will go and who will stay? And when we see Israel and Palestine lobbing bombs at each other, that's where the last battle is. The battle of Armageddon is going to be in the Middle East. You know, God's saying, wake up! I'm coming soon. This is no time to play church. This is time to be church. This is time to get right smack dab in the middle of church. Well, I didn't know. I didn't think he was going to. Would you turn to Revelation chapter 3? Revelation 3, verse number 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Gotta watch. You know, you have a watchman, but you have to watch. You have to be ready. Glory to God. And then 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians 5. And verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Glory to God. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. You know, I always get this picture in my mind of the wagon train, you know, and all of these people who were moving on to a promised land. And then there's a couple of stragglers in the back. Well, who do you think the enemy is going to pick on? I was in the Army during Vietnam. And at the end of the war, many Vietnamese loyalists were desperate to get out as the Americans left. And there were American ships at the coastline to take those Vietnamese out of there if they could get to the boats with their own small boats and helicopters to take them out as well. The American Embassy distributed a 15-page booklet showing helicopter landing zones and where the ships were located to help with the evacuation of all those who were loyalists to America. The instructions told them to tune in to 8:20 a.m. to hear the code to be read at the time of the evacuation of the escape. The code was this: the temperature in Saigon is 105 and rising. And the words would then be followed by playing a song of Bing Crosby's White Christmas. So when they heard the announcement and when they heard the song being sung, they knew, get ready. We're about to leave this place, you see. Then on the morning of April 29th, 1975, the code went out. Helicopters were on their way for those that tuned in and were listening. Many people struggled to make it to that last flight out. Thousands made it, but there were even thousands more who never did make it. I remember a picture of a family that was at the top of a building and reaching for a helicopter that was filled with people because they were desperate to get out of this place of turmoil. Now, God doesn't use helicopters. He doesn't load up boats with people, but he has issued a very detailed book of instructions to give you a code before we're about to escape this place of turmoil. We even sing songs about the rapture, you know, over and over. We sang songs, you know, get in the river. Get in the flow of things. And there will be millions who will catch the last flight out, the rapture, but even more who won't make it because they didn't get the right instructions. They never opened up the book to tell them how to get out. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. In verse number 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's not somebody's opinion, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. It's the instructions. There's going to be an escape. Noah said, there's going to be rain. Just get in the boat. Get in the boat. We prepared a boat for you. This church is the landing zone, if you will. It's where we're going to be taken out. You will not leave unless you're in the church. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't want to see a picture of somebody right after the rapture who didn't make it. Now, in preparation for the final visitation, God has designed fire drills to keep us alert. They really are safeguards. They are divine visitations like we've experienced after Friday's lock-in. After that Friday's lock-in, that Sunday morning, I don't know if you've been here, but there was a move of God. There was a visitation of God that saturated this place, and we're wondering, well, how did that happen? What did we do? What could we repeat those songs again? It's when heaven gets a hold of us, not when we get a hold of God. Many are described in the exit book that God printed. A burning bush calling Moses, day of visitation. An anointing of God's Spirit falling on a little shepherd boy who would be the next king, a day of visitation. It's Isaiah mourning the death of an earthly king in Isaiah 6, only to see a heavenly king high and lifted up and saying, oh, woe is me. I got to get out of here, you see. It's a frightened Gideon seeing an angel of the Lord who strengthened him because he was nothing but a coward without God. It's a bright light from heaven that knocks Paul off his horse and he says, Lord, what would they have me to do? A day of visitation. It's when heaven comes after us suddenly. And we didn't even understand he was looking for us. And we can't point to the reason for the visitation. Standing in line in a grocery store and suddenly the power of God comes over you and tears are streaming down your face and you're thinking, God, what's happening here? It's a day of visitation. You're driving down the road and suddenly your whole car fills up with the Spirit of God and you're saying, I wasn't even worshiping, I wasn't even thinking, but God's coming after you suddenly for a reason. Hallelujah. I remember about 3 years ago, we're in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and the pastor at a church that we just bumped into asked me to preach on Sunday morning, and I spent the next day, you know, preparing to preach, and there was a move of God that Sunday morning, and on the way back, and I've said this before, on the way back as we were pulling into where we were staying, my wife's heart just stopped, and she began to weep, and then her heart started again, and God says, because your husband was willing to minister to these people, I'm going to have my hand upon your family. A day of visitation. You can all remember that time when you didn't expect God to come, but suddenly there's this move of God in your life. I believe with all of my heart, the stage has been set for many divine visitations of God in each and every one of our lives. Heaven wants to lay hold of each of us if we'll prepare for the visitation. It just doesn't happen because you went to the right church. It's got everything to do with you preparing. The expression day of visitation is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Even Jesus spoke of it. Turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19, starting verse 43. It says, Jesus says, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Watch and pray. Well, but I've been in this thing for 40-some years. You know, I've heard it all, and, it just let somebody else. No, I'm sorry. See, you're not going to be raptured because you're a part of a church. It's because of your preparation for the visitation, you see. The word visitation literally means an inspection, as a shepherd would inspect his sheep. In the Old Testament, the day of visitation not only carried the idea of inspection, but also either acceptance or judgment. From time to time, God comes to inspect his bride. Are you preparing for the ultimate day of visitation, God's inspection of his church? So all of the apostles are there when Jesus asks the question, "Who do men say that I am?" And suddenly there is a divine visitation on Peter. And he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Do you understand that there was a divine visitation to give him revelation as to who he was? A day that heaven laid hold of Peter. Why? Was it Peter's preparation for the divine visitation? Was it Peter trying to get closer to God, have a greater understanding of who Jesus was, that, "Well, I'm just satisfied coming with you, Jesus, seeing the pyrotechnics, hearing your teaching"? But Peter was not satisfied with that. There was a preparation. God wants to reveal himself to us in amazing ways if we're really, really wanting to know more about God. There's a depth and there is an understanding that God wants to give us revelation. And I'm not talking about goosebumps. You know, I'm not talking about a sense of his presence and feeling the power of God because we're worshiping. I'm talking about sudden moves of spirit bringing complete transformation in our life. A point in our life that we no longer can continue just the way we've always continued. But now there's something that happens within us that says, "Hey, I want to be ready. Hey, I want more information. Hey, I want to pursue you, God." A divine visitation is a radical altering of our life which causes situations and circumstances to be unpredictable, resolved without even asking. God did something. He showed up. I didn't understand why, but he did. And now I'm changed. I'm not just holding on. I'm not just saying, I'm going to try to be more faithful. I'm going to start reading more of the word. There's something that compels us. Get me to God. Get me to God. That's what's going to happen before the rapture. The thing I dreaded the most when I was in the Army was a surprise inspection. Man. This morning, we're going to do inspection of the troops and your quarters. And so people would have to stand at attention. If you haven't shaved, the drill sergeant had a razor. He would hand it to you. You would march and drive shave. You know, so you could be presentable to the company commander. They go in and look at your bunk, make sure you had hospital corners and it was neat. They look at your locker to make sure that everything was in its proper place in order. Well, what was the purpose? The purpose was that your life needed to be in order for you to confront the enemy. You have to do that, Pastor. It could be a surprise inspection. To make sure that you're ready. If you are, hey, no problem. I've been doing this. I look good. Everything's in order in my life. God does surprise inspections in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day. Are we in a condition for that visitation, always ready? Or do we get ready for Sunday service or Wednesday service and the rest of the week? Well, you know, our life is kind of sloppy. Sloppy agape. It just won't work, folks. You see, that is exactly what happened at the birth of the church, a seven-day inspection of people in an upper room. You look good, and you look good, but you know the 380, you might as well go home and get right. Get right or get left. Ain't no time for indecision. Got to make up your mind, for if you don't get right, you'll be left behind. You see, 7 days, and then suddenly, sound from heaven. Fire fell. His spirit filled the room. And then the spirit filled the people. All because he inspected 120 people who had it put together, you see, a divine visitation when God comes to them. They didn't come to God. It was suddenly, not a slow, drawn-out process, not gently, not gradually aware of God, but suddenly, doubt disappeared, problems are gone, struggles are won, habits are broken. People could walk in the church of the living God as an alcoholic and walk out and never have a drink again. They can walk and have great feelings of anxiety and walk out of here with peace. They can be addicted to all manner of things, but suddenly there's a visitation of God, and I don't know, it didn't take a 12-step program. It just took one visitation from God Almighty. Hallelujah. When God visits, not only does God take care of problems, but there is a fresh awareness of the beauty of his presence. And now the value is reinstated in our life. Like when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you got so excited about God. But now, years later, there just doesn't seem to be the awareness or the value, you know. Let those goofballs praise God. I'm just here. And that's what the psalmist said. Turn to Psalms 110. Verse number 3. It says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." What do you mean? Once that visitation, that power of God falls on you, all of a sudden, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Not, do I have to? In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. In other words, you know, old gazers like me, 74 years old, still get excited about God because of a visitation of God. You know? I'd like to see some old folks running around this church, not just the kids. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's at times like this that we see God in a new way. We gain a new sense of his greatness. And we believe for the impossible. We are seized with a fresh revelation of holiness and how important it is. A depth of worship that just consumes us. Why can't this song service last longer, you see? In a day of God's visitation, getting to church on time is not a problem. You don't have to be reminded to spend more time with God. You don't have to be reminded. You should really look at His Word. You don't have to worry about not giving cheerfully because you want to give as much as you possibly can because you understand the promises of God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him and are consistent in their walk with God. You will love God's Word. You'll love God's people. Even with their faults, even with their problems. I said it yesterday morning. If people leave the church because somebody has offended them, I don't know if they're saved. Because who hasn't been on a job with somebody that they didn't particularly care for, and then you go to your boss and say, I'm quitting unless he leaves. You know, serving God has nothing to do with people. You come here to worship God. You don't come here to worship people. Once apathetic people now pursue God with a passion. We offer ourselves willingly. New priorities start to take place in our life because God visited us when we didn't really recognize that we had invited Him. We cry out as Isaiah did, here am I, send me. Anybody hungry this morning for a fresh visitation from God? So how do you receive a divine visitation? You know? Do we send God an invitation and put Him on our calendar? Well, yeah, I put God on my calendar this morning, and I'll put Him on my calendar for tonight. You know? It's one of those permanent things, you know, that shows up on my phone. Church. You know? Not just for May. Is it His schedule or is it our schedule? Psalms 91 and 15 says this, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. So he calls, we answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So how do we get this visitation? Are you ready? God comes to those who prepare for Him. Amen. You know, if we have company, I'll tell you, my wife, she prepares. They're not going to look in the corners. You know, you don't have to dust the blades on the fan. You're not going to see the fan's going around. There's no sense, but she makes sure that everything is right for the company. You know, if we'll do that with our house, why wouldn't we do it for our house? Make sure everything is right because my God's coming. How? We search His Word. We seek His face. We wait on Him. We look for the visits. We pray. We fast. We live the life that we know is going to be pleasing for Him. We are consistent in our profession of serving God on a regular basis, not just when it's convenient for us. However, there are times when we least expect Him to visit, and He shows up. That's why there are surprise inspections because you folks look good this morning. But what about last week? How good did you look? Turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse something. Isaiah 65 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I'll hear. Before you even know you have a need, before you ever knew you needed deliverance, before you ever knew you needed protection, God said, I'll answer. I'll hear you. But even then, it's because we prepared for his visit. Two elderly people in the Bible in Jesus' day waited that they would somehow see the face of the Messiah before they died. I think he's talking about me. I want to see his face. Finally, both Anna and Simeon saw Jesus' face as a baby at his dedication. They had prepared all their life for this moment. And isn't that us? We prepared all our life to see his face. I don't want to miss it. Cross the threshold of heaven and all of the splendor and the beauty and the precious gems in the walls and gold floor as clear as glass. Get me to Jesus. That's why I'm here. If we really want a visit from God, then it must be more important than the internet and Facebook and sports and hobbies. Throw out the welcome mat for Jesus, and Jesus will show up. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you, in James, the fourth chapter, you know? There was an old movie called Fields of Dreams, you know? And this guy took a cornfield, and he cut it down, and he made a baseball field. And the theme of this whole thing was, if you build it, they will come. Folks, if we prepare for his arrival, he will come. On the day you seek me with all your heart. Well, I'm going to, you know, set aside a little bit of time for Jesus. Chances are you'll never see his face. You know, Pastor, if you could just back down a little bit, we'd have more people here. You know, you're so insistent about getting people ready. That's my job. Hallelujah. Daniel had his visitation, a day of visitation, when he prayed, when the king said, hey, if you pray, you're dead. Cornelius had his day when he did all he knew, yet he still didn't have full truth, and God visited him. You know, it's time for spring cleaning. Clear out the clutter and make more room for God. If we'll build a prayer room, he will come. The code went out. It's 105 and rising. The song was played, White Christmas, by Bing Crosby. But some who had been listening for the code and the songs the day before weren't listening the day of the visitation. Boy, that message 6 years ago was so incredible. But I'm not listening anymore. Even those that listened, some didn't hear. You can listen to a whole sermon and never hear one thing that was said. You see, Jesus said, Let he who has ears, let him hear. But those who listened and were ready were caught up and ready to go. I'm going to be a part of that rapture. Nothing is going to keep me from that appointment. No rude people, no sickness, no situation, because I'm going to make it all the way. They didn't miss the last flight out because they were listening. Can we hear the code? Can we hear the songs that we sing every Sunday, every Wednesday, all about his coming, how much, you know, he can do for us? There are no impossibilities with our God. He can do all things for us. Are we listening? Are we just singing the songs, or are we actually hearing what the song say in our life? Are we reaching out like the woman with the issue of blood? If I could just touch Jesus, I'll be fine. I need a new touch of his spirit. I need a new energy. I need a revival within my own life that someday when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be gone. You don't want to go? That's fine. I'm going. Hallelujah. The day of visitation is the day of deliverance. Amen. Amen. Matthew 24 and verse 43, if our musicians would come. Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, Jesus saying, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Man, the whole family's in church, but are they going to stay in church? It's to the very end. Therefore, be also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I've been hearing about the rapture from the first time I entered into church, and it hasn't happened yet. And some get a false sense of security thinking, well, you know, I can't imagine. Hey, listen, there are bombs falling in Israel, in the Middle East. And it doesn't look like America is going to help. Doesn't look like anybody else is going to come to their rescue. We're talking about signs and wonders. We're looking at the fulfillment of prophecy. And God is trying to get the attention of the church. I'm coming back. Ready or not? Here I come. Amen. Will he find faith when he comes? Hallelujah. Church, I need you to be strong. You need each other to be strong. We need to be accountable to each other. I'm not leaving. I'm not changing my mind. My face is struck like flint. I'm not going to turn to the left. I'm not going to turn to the right. I'm going to be ready. Hallelujah. He sent out the booklet. Amen.
I am hungry.
Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? Why do you think he said, gather yourselves together all the more as you see the day approaching? Because this morning, tonight, and every other service is a preparation for the visitation of God. You may not think it's so important to find a place in your home on a regular basis, to bend a knee and talk to God. You might not think it's so important just to push a plate away just so I can get a little closer to God. But those are the things that cause you to become alive in the Spirit, because we're fighting this flesh. It's overwhelming. If you give him an inch, he'll control you. I'm too tired. I can't do this. The kids are sick. Where would be a better place to bring a sick kid than to church to have him prayed for? I don't know. I guess I'm old school, but I believe that God can do anything for us if we're willing. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?